Yesterday I affirmed that Jesus is the expositor of God. This is based upon our Lord's own words recorded in Matthew 11:27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. God cannot be discovered by searching, reading, analyzing, or astute scholarship. Both his person and his purpose are outside the perimeter of human aptitude. No mortal has access to the domain of God, for sin has so blighted human capabilities that men are confined in their reasoning to sense and time. This is why idolaters can only make gods likened to things created. Jesus, however, is the one who delivers an understanding of the true God so that men may come to know him. The essentiality of this knowledge is seen in the fact that eternal life is knowing God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. On the eve of his betrayal, Jesus said this in his prayer to God in John 17:3, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." According to 2 Thessalonians 1:8, the criticality of this knowledge or holy familiarity is seen in the fact that all who know not God will in the end experience the vengeance of God when Jesus comes to punish them with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I do not believe that this has been perceived by Christendom at large. There is astounding prevalence of the ignorance of God within the modern church. This is precisely why it is relying upon all manner of counselors, motivational experts, and purported specialists in human conduct and the psyche of men. It is why men appear to be in need of counseling, advice, how-to seminars, and the likes. It is because they do not know God. If this is not the case, then knowing God has no genuine practical value, an imagination that those with understanding must throw down to the ground where it belongs. If God has in fact raised up a prophet for the people, then he cannot be an ineffective one, for God is not capable of raising up a prophet that is not effective, particularly the preliminary or primary prophet. If men are living beneath the privileges of the sons of God, it is not because of any flaw in the prophet whom God has raised up from among the people. There can be only one reason for the dominance of sin, the ignorance of God, and being overcome by the world. Such people have not hearkened to the prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to press this issue because there is too much ambiguity in the Christian world on this matter. Trite, shallow, and false explanations are being offered for the deficiencies found among those who wear the name of Jesus. Their identity with Christ is being assumed, and that is something that is wholly unwarranted. I am going to affirm that those who are of God do hear his prophet, Jesus Christ, just as Moses said they would. I will further affirm that only those who are alienated from God do not hear the prophet God has raised up. Additionally, I will also declare that unless this condition is remedied, there cannot possibly be any hope of being saved. Here in this world, men may learn to tolerate an ignorance of God and a lack of appetite for his word and will. However, this is not the attitude maintained in heaven. A person may be able to be a member of a church, yet remain fundamentally ignorant of God and essentially anchored to this present evil world. This condition may continue for years, even decades, with the individual even being acknowledged as a Christian and a church member in good standing. I will now establish that such a condition directly contradicts the prophecy of Moses, the words of Jesus, and the doctrine of the apostles. Remember, we are considering the promise that the real people shall hearken to the real prophet God has raised up, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us consider the sheep and their exclusive identity with Christ. In John 10:4-5, Jesus said of himself and his people, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." In this remarkable expression, the Lord reveals a number of things. First, all of the sheep are in the posture of following. They are not seeking their own will, and they have an unmistakable attraction to Christ. Second, in the capacity of a shepherd, Jesus does not walk by the side of the sheep, but is in a leading stance, and the sheep do follow him. Third, the sheep have no inclination to leaders other than Jesus. In fact, once they have identified Christ, they will withdraw from pretentious leaders, even running from them. Fourth, when they are summoned to follow other shepherds who do not themselves have the truth, the real sheep refuse to follow them, for there is a strange and offensive sound in their voice. Even before they knew of Christ, the real sheep were not enamored of or inwardly attracted to false shepherds. In John 10:8, Jesus said, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Throughout history, there have been self-proclaimed messiahs, men who affirmed they had the answer to the human dilemma, but they were only interested in what they could get from the sheep, not what they could give to them. Such men could not bring satisfaction to the sheep. Their words had a hollow sound to them and could not divert the sheep from longing and looking for the good shepherd. Even when the sheep were within range of the voice of these shepherds, there remained in their words a tone of spiritual poverty. The sheep knew what they were hearing could not really enrich them, and thus they could not give their undivided attention to these thieves and robbers. Consider that the singularity of both the fold and the flock is confirmed by the nature of the sheep. That nature is fundamentally revealed in their consistent response to the Good Shepherd. John 10:16 says, "And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." The appointed means by which the sheep are gathered together is, in this perspective, the voice of the Lord Jesus, His words. They prove to be the rallying point for the real people of God. The dividing line between the real sheep and the pretenders is found in spiritual hearing. John 10:27 announces, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." A failure to believe is directly owing to the inability to hear Christ's voice. That means that faith is not possible where men have not been drawn to Christ, as confirmed in John 6:44. That drawing is accomplished through Christ's voice. That is, the real sheep are attracted to Him because of what He says. This is not the attraction of intellectual intrigue or mere curiosity. Rather, there's a satisfaction realized when the word of Christ is embraced. That is why the real sheep allow it to dwell richly within them. It is no wonder we're admonished in Colossians 3:16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." It is not possible to have favorable identity with God if there is not a fundamental propensity toward His word, particularly as it has been revealed through Christ. In John 8:47, Jesus said, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God." Men cannot live by every word of God out of a sense of mere obligation. Rather, life is realized through every word of God because of insight and preference. Thus, in Luke 4:4, Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. In the New Covenant, God has no children who do not hear His words. He begets no sons who lack an appetite for His word or the aptitude to detect when He is speaking. Those who are in Christ are described in Ephesians 2:10 as God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Referring to that new creation, we read in Ephesians 4:24 of the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians 3:10 refers to the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. 2 Corinthians 5:17 affirms, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." This is how every person comes into Christ, and there are no exceptions. It is the true sheep that hear the true shepherd, as Jesus affirmed in the 10th chapter of John. Speaking further of the voice of Christ, which voice the sheep follow, the new birth is initiated by means of the voice of Christ. Jesus pointedly declared this to be the case in John 5:25 and 26. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself." Just as surely as light came into the world when the Lord said, "Let there be light," so spiritual life is induced by the voice of the Lord. Because God has given the Son to have life in Himself, Jesus is the only one who can actually confer life. That is, God has made Jesus alone to be the repository of life, or the means through which life can be obtained. In the divine economy, this life is realized by hearing the voice of the Son of God. It is precisely for this reason, because the people have been made alive by the word of Christ, that they have such an inclination to His voice. Their new birth includes being given ears to hear, that is, the capacity to know when Jesus is speaking and the inclination to listen to Him. Where there is no appetite for the word of the Lord, there is no proof that the person is really born again. a Christian, or saved or delivered from sin. We are not authorized to sit in judgment upon people, but if they insist they are of God, then there must be more evidence of that affiliation than their word. The fruit of the Spirit must also be found in them. In this kind of hearing, it is imperative the individual be given ears to hear. Those who cannot hear the prophet do not have such ears. Thus, in Deuteronomy 29:4, Moses accounted for the obtuseness of Israel. Yet the Lord hath not given you a heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. There is a sense in which men awake from death and trespasses and sins, coming to initial life by hearing the voice of Christ. This is what is expressed in the book of Ephesians. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Although it may be controversial, it is revealed that God's election is confirmed by one's reception of the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians 1:4-6, Paul assessed the Thessalonians' acceptance of Jesus in these words, "Knowing, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. As it is written in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. That hearing, however, is more than a mere claim of hearing or simple exposure to the sound of words. When the gospel is received in power, it does something in the hearer. This power is wrought through the Holy Spirit. Those who truly hear come into the realization of assurance. They are assured of the reality and effectiveness of Christ Himself and of their own acceptance when coming to God through Him. They follow the Lord Jesus as He is perceived in their lives of those He sends, and are willing to go through much affliction to lay hold on eternal life. They also gladly receive the Word of God, experiencing the joy of the Holy Spirit. There is no such thing as a real Christian who does not experience these things. When the real sheep hear, they trust in Jesus. Ephesians 1:12-14 reads, "That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." There is no such thing as sheep who do not trust. Now, how about you? Do you have an ear that can hear what the Lord is saying? Do you have an appetite for the word of the Lord? If so, culture that capacity to hear, growing in your sensitivity to the Lord and your understanding of His Word. You do live by every word of God, and you will die without it. If you feel you're lacking in this matter, then the Lord stands ready to give you a hearing ear and a tender heart. Seek the Lord, listener. Seek the Lord, and do it with your whole heart.